Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today says that consumer price inflation in its 34 member countries slowed to a 1.4% rate in February from 1.7% in January amid a sharp drop in energy prices. The U.S. inflation rate was 1.1% in February. The OECD said that excluding volatile food and energy prices, core inflation for its 34 members was stable for a fourth month running at 1.6%. Meanwhile, China's HSBC's manufacturing index fell to 48.0 in March from 48.5, slightly worse than the 48.1 in a preliminary report, and its third consecutive monthly drop. Numbers above 50 indicate expansion in China's economy. Output shrank at a faster rate, and factories cut staff and purchasing. Total new orders also fell faster. The HSBC implies that first quarter economic growth likely fell below the 7.5% rate that China's leaders have targeted for the full year. Russian potash producer OAO Uralkali today signed a one-year sales deal with India's largest importer to sell the fertilizer additive at $322 a metric ton. The contract to sell 800,000 metric tons to Indian Potash Limited between now and March of next year signals a firming of prices and a possible end to the uncertainty in the potash market. Prices had fallen more than 25% from $400 a ton last summer after Uralkali left a trading partnership with Belarus, effectively ending an informal global pricing cartel. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 16,530. It's up almost 73 points. The NASDAQ is trading at 4,239. It is up 41. The S&P 500 trading 1,881, and it is up 9.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the lower Midwest will deteriorate as we go through the night tonight and into the day tomorrow as our first of two storm systems marches across the region. This storm system is not going to be a heavy rain producer, but it's moisture that's going to occur off on top of already wet soil conditions, and so the end result will be some further delay in getting into the fields. But the unfortunate part is it's going to be followed by yet another storm system, and that one will be larger in size and have much more impact on the Midwest. That event will occur Thursday into Friday, and we'll expect it to produce some 1 to 2 inch amounts of rainfall across the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest, while some heavy snows fall across some of the region from Nebraska into Wisconsin. The storm system will leave behind very wet soil and no opportunity to get into the fields for a while. We will see some drying take place as we go into the weekend, but another cool air mass coming southeastward out of Canada promises to bring some additional precipitation to the region and also drop temperatures more notably across the area. Some of the computer forecast models today have suggested a new low pressure center will form on the central Gulf of Mexico coast, and it will move to the northeast up the Atlantic seaboard as we go through the early part of next week. The storm is advertised to be large enough that some precipitation will fall in Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky, keeping some of those areas quite wet as well. The storm system is probably overdone, and I think future model runs will reduce the size of this event, but the bottom line is that we will see enough cool air across the Midwest during the first half of next week to restrict the drying rates across the area, and that will put us in a position of further delays in getting into fields. There will be some drier and warmer weather occurring in the second half of next week going into the following weekend, And that'll be a time that everybody will be waiting for with bated breath. As far as the precipitation potentials in hard red winter wheat country are concerned, those areas are not likely to see much precipitation, at least not in the southwest plains from west Texas into southwestern Kansas. Those areas will have to wait until the period, probably the 11th through the 13th, for a significant amount of moisture. With that said, though, the storm system that's expected tomorrow into Friday will also produce some moisture in Nebraska, northeast Colorado, and the easternmost portions of Kansas and Oklahoma, offering an opportunity for some moistening of the soil there. But as far as the western high plains region is concerned, they'll have to wait much longer in time before they see better precipitation. Our temperatures today will contrast sharply from 20s and 30s for highs in the Dakotas and Minnesota, where that heavy snow event occurred yesterday, to readings in the 60s and perhaps even a few lower 70s in the Ohio River Valley. Cooler air will work its way slowly to the southeast, but it looks like the Ohio River Valley probably won't see a significant amount of cool-off for a while. There will be another storm system forming across the southwestern portions of the Corn Belt as we move into Wednesday night and Thursday. That'll bring more warm air northward temporarily. So 70-degree highs may occur for Wednesday and Thursday across the lower eastern parts of the Midwest, while 30 and 40-degree readings occur in the northwestern parts of the region. As we get into the weekend, though, the temperatures will turn cooler in most areas. Saturday's highs will be in the 40s north and 50s in the south. It looks like our low temperatures across the Midwest will contrast tonight with readings in the teens and 20s in the far northwest, while we stay in the 40s, perhaps even some lower 50s from Missouri into the Ohio River Valley. The warmth in the lower eastern Midwest will likely continue as we move into Thursday and Friday mornings, but then after that it will cool down. We'll see temperatures in the 30s as we get to Sunday morning. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Busey supports small businesses and entrepreneurs to bring vibrancy to the local economy. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 756 and a quarter, down 7 3/4. July, 759 and a quarter, down 6. Soft May wheat, 688 and a quarter, down 9. July, 692 and a quarter, down 9 and a quarter. May corn, 508 and a half, up 6 and a half. July, 513, up 6 and a quarter. December, 506, up 7 and 3 quarters. May soybeans, 1481 and a quarter, up 17 and a quarter. July, 1449 and 3 quarters, up 20 and a quarter. November, 1198 and a quarter, up 11. May soybean meal, 483.50, up 420. May soybean oil, 4092, up 50. April live cattle, 145.45, down 40. April feeders, 176.57 and a half, down 45. April lean hogs, 127.65, they're up 165. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Follow through in corn and beans today after yesterday's report.
Yep, lots of follow through, lots of fun buying the acreage of a lot less corn acres and more bean acres that pushed the corn higher, and the old crop beans, the tight supply. Pushed it higher, but funds are buying, and pushing it higher. We went through 5 on the corn. That was a magical number, and we looked like we could stay there. We hit 12 on the new crop beans and then backed off from it, and in the last 10 minutes we went to 12.09, but we've backed off under 12 again. So that is some kind of a magical number there if we can stay above that. 15 is a magical number on the old crop beans. We hit 14.88. And in corn, we hit 512 in May. We hit 517 in July. We're about 6 off of those, 4 to 6 off those numbers. But fund buying after yesterday's report and the acreage report, I don't know if those acres will be the ending acres, but they're being traded right now.
Well, if you're looking at December corn of 505 and 3 quarters and November beans at 1198 and a quarter and you start figuring it out, you might plant more corn acres if the weather cooperates.
Yeah, and, weather, we're going to warm up. What's it going to be the 1st of May? Last year we didn't plant till late May.
Didn't matter, did it?
And it didn't matter. So all these things about prospective plantings will go away as the weather proceeds, and we'll see what we actually do plant. But it's giving people an opportunity here to make sales or protect higher prices on both corn and beans.
I would think a lot of that's going on today.
Well, we would think people would protect higher prices, but sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
So a word about the wheat market before we let you go.
Wheat market down 9 to 10, and again there, this is a time of year as we come into spring and we have wheat green up. If it's not as bad as they thought, which it usually isn't, you can kill wheat about 9 times and still produce 80 bushel sometimes. And this is the normal time that it does go down, and wheat supplies are adequate around the world.
Thank you, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manahar debates commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current ticket in the marketplace. May corn, 508 up 6. July, 512 and a quarter up 5 and a half. December's 506 up 7 and 3 quarters. May soybeans, 1481 and a quarter up 17 and a quarter. July, 1450 and a quarter up 20 and 3 quarters. November, 1198 and 3 quarters up 11 and a half. May soybean meal is $483.50 at $420. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.